up, guys? My name is Antonio, and I, like Pastor Joe said, I just am one of the privileged servants on the team, and I'm so glad that you guys made it out to Shift on another wonderful, chilly, brisk Friday night. We have some awesome activities. Isn't this place popping? This place is always doing something. You guys come to a cool church. This is a cool thing that we get to do to be around other young adults. I know had I had this when I was in my early, early young adults, then maybe my life would be a little bit different. But hey, I'm glad to be. That made it sound like my life is bad. I'm blessed. I'm glad to be here. But I know that it took me some time to get over some of my knuckleheaded ways. Not all of us were like Pastor Joe at 3 years old at the altar laying his life down. No, that's not a clown. That's a good thing. That's great. Hey guys. So we are in the middle of our series. We're in the middle of a series called The Social Experience. Who's had fun so far? I think it's really cool that not only have we heard great words and great messages from the Word of God, but we've also had some practical opportunities to become socials, to step outside of ourselves. And I think as the church, it's our responsibility to not only teach you the Word of God, but again, create environments and give opportunities in which we can put to practice the things that we are learning. So again, in that same spirit tonight, we're going to get on the dance floor and boogie and dance for Jesus. Amen. So meet somebody new. I encourage you. And again, don't just use, okay, it's social experience. That's the only time I have to step outside of myself and reach out and try to make some friends and meet people. Let's just make this some of our habit. And that's what we're going to be touching on tonight, the idea of kind of stepping outside of ourselves. And so let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Because I was talking to Pastor Joe, and, you know, we were talking like, all right, how do we want to close out this series? You know, we've talked about some great elements. Pastor Joe kicked it off with just the idea of, like, what are we doing relationally? How can we be more social? How can we step outside of ourselves? We had a panel last week. Pastor Luke talked about being a neighbor to your physical new neighbor. Has anyone been able to have had an opportunity to be a neighbor to their actual neighbor and just kind of step outside themselves? I know that the next day we were going home and pulling up in the driveway, and our neighbor, him and his wife, they're a young couple. They had a truck full of big chairs. She owns a hair salon, and he was, you know, she's kind of like a smaller gal. And so, you know, there's some big, hefty chairs, and I had the opportunity to run over there. Oh, let me help you with that. And I felt like, oh, yeah, I got to be a neighbor. You know, I got to share that story. No, but it was really cool, just kind of the way it lined up, and to just to be there as a neighbor and to befriend them and be there for them. So it's really cool to implement the things we're learning. So tonight, it was kind of like, all right, so we'll close it out with just an idea of friendships, relationships. Because it's not just about dating or the opposite sex relationships, but it's really how can we be Christians that are about our faith? Because Jesus didn't command us to just, all right, go get saved and go lock yourself up in your bubble so you don't get tempted or so you don't have to deal with people that might bring the devil out of you. Hello, come on, anybody know people that just the devil just wants to come out when you're around them? Situations, right? Maybe coworkers, professors, bosses, whatever it might be. That's not what Jesus has called us to do. So, you know, kind of going through some ideas back and forth, and all right, let's give some basics. Let's give some nuts and bolts of relationships. Let's look at some scriptures that can teach us and show us and guide us how to be able to be good friends and how to have good relationships and good social skills. Awesome. And over the last couple days, in meditating and trying to finalize and preparing for the message, there was just a little bit of wrestling going through. And I believe that there was just a little bit of a different burden that God put on my heart for tonight. And I want to share it with you if you would let me, if you would allow for the next few minutes with you guys. I just have a few scriptures that I want to share with you and a few ideas that I believe that we can implement into our lives that would, again, challenge us to step outside of ourselves, yet encourage us on how we can live out our life as beings doing what God has asked us to do and what He has purposed us to do. You know, I personally have the privilege to be able to stand before you, and I believe that I am able to be who I am in terms of as blessed as I am because I have loved ones around me, I have friends around me, I get to do life
with an awesome group of people, with awesome friends. Several of them are in this room tonight. Yeah, I get to go to church with them. I get to work with them. I get to raise my kids with them. And I get to just be happy and be cool. And that's great. And sometimes I'm tempted to think, if I made not one more friend in my life, I would be fine. I don't need no new friends, right? Like, I'm good. Like, it's too much drama. It's too much hassle. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm content. I'm perfectly enriched in everything that I have. It's just so great to be able to do life. I have friends that stretch me. You know, all the boxes are checked, right? Like, I don't just have friends that let me be complacent. I have friends that stretch me. I have friends that are different personalities than me, that challenge me to try new things and do different things. You know, I don't know if you guys know Michael. If you guys remember Michael Espinosa, I've done some of the craziest things in my life with that young man. He's a quiet soul, but man, I went bungee jumping with it. No, skydiving, climbed one of the highest mountains on the continental U.S. or the highest mountain on the continent. You know, friends just stretch you and get to get you out of your comfort zones. And I just have great friends and people around me. And that's not a boast, but what the idea is to say, something in me I just cannot be settled with that. Because in my study and diving into the scriptures and hearing what God has to say, I don't think it's just a matter of collecting enough friends to make you content, to live your life happy, and get to do the church thing, and maybe tell a couple people about Jesus here and there, and then go back into what you're doing. Because that's great. Who has some group chats in their phone, and like, that just like, that's your group chat, and everything that goes on, you hit up the group chat, and like, your life is good, like, and that's just what you do. That's cool. I have one of those. I have a couple of those, and they're fun with my family, with my friends, and it's all good, and we have inside jokes, and that's great. But I believe there's more. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But I believe that God has something for us that will stretch us out a little bit more. And I want to show you in some scripture how I believe that works. In Proverbs chapter 18, chapter 18 and 24. It's a familiar verse for some of you. But I'm going to read it out of the New King James. Do we have the original King James. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That'll preach by itself right there, right? Like, if you have friends, you actually have to be a friendly person, right? But that's different. And then there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Meaning, your siblings, you don't pick them. If you're friends with their siblings, hey, that's cool. I have awesome siblings, but we're a little bit different age group, so I didn't necessarily grow up close and tight-knit with them. You know, I have some regrets with my little brother. I kind of bullied him and punked him a little bit. And so when I was like, hey, let's be friends, bro, he was like, dude, you burned me, and plus you're older than me, and blah, blah, blah. But God has actually done a lot of work in our relationship, so we're buddies. He's one of my best friends. But your friends, you get to pick. You get to pick your friends. You get to pick who you're around. You get to pick who you consider your friends and who you let in an inner circle. And so when the scripture is saying a friend will stick closer than a brother, because if you have a ride or die homie, if you have a ride or die friend, that's someone that you got to pick and that you've got to open your life to and just got to really grow closer to. Let's look at the ESV for a second. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So in other words, what the Proverbs is saying here, look, we can have friends. And I think the NLT, what is it? The NLT has, there are friends in life, right? There are people that you might call friends that are companions, that are acquaintances. But if you have a friend, man, they can be so close to us. So the idea that we are created to have friends. You know, I know there's different personalities. I know, is anyone taking the personality test, right? There's introverts, there's extroverts, there's ENFP, INPJ, WWJD, you know, there's just all, you know, different personalities that we have in our lives. Some of you got that. I'm a child of the 90s, so I don't know. But they're coming back, right? WWJD, it's back. All right. So anyways, sorry. Goofy, corny, babe didn't even laugh at me. So anyways, so there's different personalities, and God created you that way, and that's great. You know, if you're introverted, sometimes that means that you're not necessarily, that talking to people, like, drains you, right? Like, so if you're around people, like, you get around a bunch of people, and all of a sudden, you just go home, and you're wiped, you're done, right? Like, maybe you come to shift, oh my gosh, there's other people there. And then you go home and like you just want to knock out. Or like, I did my hour and a half. No one else look at me for the rest of the night. Like, I'm done. And then there's extroverted people, which I consider myself more of an extroverted people. I get energized around other people, right? Like, it's like, heck yeah, all these people are here. Who's ready to pop off? Yeah, let's just go. Like, you just get excited. You get pumped. I happen to think extroverted people are cooler, but hey, that's just my biased opinion. And can I get a witness in the house tonight? All right, anyways, I'm just kidding. God made you that way. He made you exactly that way, and that's fine. But how many of you know that God still, that does not give you an excuse to not have to be social? Because if you look at Adam and Eve, Adam was on this earth, and the Lord didn't see fit for him to be alone. Right? And I don't believe that is just an example of a helpmate of a male and a female. I believe that means for all of us as people too. Because let's look at the example of Jesus. Who would say that Jesus is the best BFF you could ever have? Right? So, I mean, if you're taking applications, Jesus goes right to the top. And he didn't come. He was like, he could have done his business without anybody else. Like, you know what? But he chose to come around people. He chose to be around people and have friends. So I believe that that's not an excuse, you know, like, oh, I'm introverted, or your personality, or however that might be. But we get to choose our friends. So the first point that I'd like to share with you guys is that we were designed to do life with other people. So some of these things that we're going to discuss tonight are very obvious statements, are very obvious points. But I believe if we can keep them at the forefront of our minds when we have interactions with people, when we are thinking about if we want to expose our hearts, if expose our lives to other people, if we want to take new friend applications, or if we think we're full in the docket, I have enough numbers, I have enough people, I follow, man, Snapchat, over three people, it's just like boring, like, oh my gosh, I'll never catch up, I quit Snapchat because it's just like, dude, like, I can never catch up, it's just overwhelming, right? So maybe you're like that with friends, like, oh my gosh, I got too many texts at once, too many friends, no more. But I don't think you can have no friends, you know, like, hey, buds, but we're not designed to do life alone. You know, we want to do it with other people. And, you know, so we'll look at Jesus. Look at the example of Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15 and verse 15. John 15 and verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's the NIV. I don't know if that's what's up here. So the NIV is a little bit different, but basically he's saying the same thing. Look, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's like, I don't call you servants, because, you know, like, you come up to me, you call me rabbi, you esteem me a certain way, so I could just call you pupil. You know, anyone watch Ip Man? I was watching Ip Man with my son the other day. I grew up watching martial arts movies, and so, like, they were called pupils, right? Like, so here, you know, these old martial arts senseis or masters, they would have pupils that would come around them and they, you know, hey, master, like, they want to learn the art that this specific sensei knows or has mastered. And so they come around them, and they're trying to get everything. And so he's, look, I'm no longer just calling you a servant. You're not just around me so that you could serve me, but I call you friends. Because the idea what he's saying here is so cool. He's saying, because everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus has deposited into these friends of his everything that he got from God. See, because a servant is like, you're my servant, so I'd only have to tell you it's a need to know basis, and you don't need to know, right? You're like a mafia, right? Like, it's a need to know. You don't have to know. I'm not going to tell you. You have no necessary. But a friend, it's like, I'm going to share my life with you. I mean, and personally in our lives, there's going to be people you don't have to tell every deepest, darkest secret or every dream or every thought that you have. But at the same time, you're sharing life with someone. And so what Jesus is doing is he's exposing his life to his disciples. He's now giving them the title as friends. And actually, I think it's really cool, because we get to take this statement that Jesus gave the disciples, and I believe we get to own it as well. Us as Jesus followers, us as disciples ourselves, we are Christians. We get to consider ourselves friends of Jesus. Jesus is our friend. And that's why I know there was some controversy with that Jesus is my homeboy type thing, right? Like, I know there was like, oh man, that's like, you know, is that sacrilegious? And I get it. It's maybe a little over the top. Maybe it's irreverent a little bit. But the idea is that Jesus is our friend, that we have access to everything that God wanted to share with us, we can know ourselves. But that, again, that's for another message. But the idea that I think is really important, and point number two, is friendship isn't about what you can get from it, but what you can give towards it. Ah, that's good. One more time. Friendship isn't about what you can get from it, but what we can give towards it. I know a lot of times when you're looking for friends, or I'll just be transparent. When I was growing up, like, you want cool friends, right? Like, you want friends that you want to be friends with the people that have a bunch of friends. You know, if you're a young teenager, if you're a guy, you want to be friends with the guy that all the girls like, or just like all the guys want to be, all the girls want to be with type thing, right? Maybe it's different from a guy's perspective, but let's just be real, transparent in the place. That's all good. All right, so. So the idea is like, hey, you want to be cool, you want to be liked, you want to have friends, and you're thinking like, oh man, if I'm friends with him, it's going to elevate my status, or that will put me at this certain level, or if I'm friends with him, like that makes it really cool, and he's a really cool guy, and I get added to, right? That it adds to me, and that's cool, and I understand the statement as well that, you know, that there's always an agenda of some sort in every relationship, right? There's an idea. You go into it with some give and take. Even with your spouse or your friends, there's an expectation. Like, hey, I'm going to be your friend. That means when I call you, I expect you to call back or text back within X amount of time. You know, like if it's Pastor Joe, within the next 48 hours. I'm kidding, Pastor Joe. You know, is that you get, you, but and there's the same expectation on you. You know that if he calls you or if your friend is calling you, the expectation is the same. So the idea here is that we want to approach our friendships and just like adding to me. And I think that the thought that I was thinking about is, you know, I don't know. I see people with new crews, new BFFs like every year. And I just can't trust you. Like if you have a new BFF every year, I just, like, what happened? Like, why are you always beefing with people? Why are you always changing teams? Like, what's going on? Like, can I get away? I mean, like, so I was sharing that idea with a friend, and his daughter is, like, 11 or 12 years old. She's like, oh, yeah, that's what my daughter does. Like, yeah, but she's 12, like, right? Like, he has a new best friend every day. But that shouldn't be us as young adults, as young people. There's this idea of conflict resolution. There's this idea of that it's not just about what someone adds to us. And as soon as you stop adding to me, I'm out. Come on. Like as soon as I don't like how you make me feel, I'm done. Oh, you know, but they weren't that Christian. Or, you know, they pulled me into the world. And I understand. We do need to be careful. And there's plenty of scripture to support the idea that we need to be iron sharpens iron, and the idea that we need to be careful who we surround ourselves with. But if you were a friend with this person, then let's get them back. And all of a sudden they're not iron anymore. That's sharpening you. Well, let's figure out why they're not iron. Or why do we abandon ship as soon as it gets hard? Oh, but they went back into the world. I gotta go. Well, why'd they go back into the world? What were you doing? Come on. Well, they stopped, you know, they stopped this or that, or they were talking mess on me. Like, part of the side of what I started off tonight by saying I have great friends in my life is what I didn't say. What the side that you don't see on Instagram when you see group pictures is the side of conflict resolution, is the side of, oh man, there's ignoring or awkward conversations or awkward group text messages and cryptic ideas and looks and what takes place. But friendships require work. And friendships worth having require work. I remember my good friend PJ, man. He's closer than a brother, right? Close like a brother. PJ, our friendship probably really started once I got a phone call from him. And I told him I was going to tell this story. I got a phone call from this guy, PJ. I just started coming around to shift. I'm just meeting new people. PJ was already very involved. I get a call on a Saturday. I'm chilling. And PJ's just like, hey, man, I hate you, dude. What? I hate you, man. You are annoying. You're a punk. You're this, this, and that. I'm like, what? Dude, I had no idea. My bad, man. Like, he's like, I gave me examples. this list of like, I did this and you did not. I was like, dude, my bad, I had no idea. PJ, am I lying? I'm not lying. Like, he gives me this example, right? Like, he goes through his journal and starts, on this day you did this. No, I'm kidding. That's a lie. But I was like, dude, I had no idea. From that day on, man, we were inseparable. We were roommates. We kicked it. We chilled. The idea was that there's conflict resolution. There's the idea of working things through. And I think going back to the point is that we are so quick to abandon relationships that might stretch us because they no longer serve us. We are so quick to be like, that's not good for me anymore. That just doesn't edify me. We over spiritualize it, right? Like, that doesn't edify me. You're not edifying me. You're not making me feel good about myself. Okay. I get that. That's great. Again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not going against what Scripture is saying. But what I do see is that did Judas edify Jesus? Was Jesus not aware of what was going to happen with Judas? I was talking to Reverend Beth about that. Why do we see this, that Jesus let Judas stay around so long, knowing what he was doing? He was taking money off the top. Not even before he betrayed him, he was stealing money. He was being shysty. He was not a good dude. But Jesus let him in his inner circle. And to what lesson? Because I believe Jesus is saying, look, there's going to be challenges with the people that you might let in your life. It's not always going to be easy. But I designed you to let people in. And I designed you to not just have people that are going to add to you, but that you can serve. And I think that's where I think I felt the most burden on my heart regarding this message tonight was approaching friendship and friendships as servanthood. To approach our friendships. What would our lives look like if we approached our friendships and thought of it as, how can we serve them? How can we serve our friends? How can we add to their lives? How can we pour ourselves out? Because that's what Jesus did. And those friends changed the world. Hello. Those friends changed the world. Jesus gave of himself. He served. He loved. He washed their feet, man. And they walked around barefoot. Come on. Or in some sandals that were, you know, come on. This is, you guys get it. Nobody around here washes each other's feet. But he served. And he loved. And there was an unconditional aspect to their friendship that Jesus exemplified for us. Last verse tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and 12. And I don't know what version you got. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, we use this scripture a lot for maybe marital relationships. The idea of keeping Jesus at the center. You have the husband, you have the wife, and Jesus at the center. And a triple braided cord is not easily broken. But the scripture shows us it's not just talking about a husband and a wife here. This could be you and a friend. This could be you and people that you allow into your life. We're not designed to do life alone. I mean, hey, I go home and I just memorize scriptures and I study and then I go to work. And I'm a Christian on the job. I love my coworkers. And then I just don't like people, though. But when did Jesus say, you have, come on, is what's comfortable for you? Do it to the extent of your comfort. Show me that scripture. Be a Christian to the extent of what feels okay for you. As long as it doesn't ask too much of you. In fact, on the contrary, Jesus asks for everything. He asks for your whole life. He says, lay down everything that is comfortable for you and follow me. Everything that you're attached to, all your riches, leave that, follow me. Everything that you know, your father and mother, leave them, follow me. So the idea, we're lying to ourselves, in other words, church, to think that our relationships, our social experiences are going to be contingent on our feeling. I just don't get along with people. I don't like girls. I'm a girl and I don't like girls. Like, girls are drama. Like, I just can't have girlfriends. Dudes, like, oh man, I can only, yeah, you know, I just, you know, I'm cool by myself, man. Dudes, they're stifling, man. They're just, come on, dude. Like, come on. It's unrealistic. It's unrealistic. It's unsustainable to try to do life by yourself. And to think that the moment you have a conflict with a friend, or as soon as there's an issue, or even a betrayal, betrayals hurt. And that goes to the last point. There's less risk with closed doors, but greater reward with people to enjoy life with. Man, it's risky. It's risky. You're putting yourself out there to be hurt, to be stabbed in the back. All these uncomfortable, ugly things that I don't believe Jesus wants for your life. Jesus doesn't want you to hurt. He doesn't want you in pain. But if the cool thing is because God designed us to not be alone, anything that he designs you to do or asks you to do, he's going to give you a way in which that you can do it with harmony, in which you can do it with peace, in which you can do it with happiness and joy. Because he's not a God that just wants you. And I know Christians, sometimes we think like, oh man, only if it's hard is that the will of God. Only if it's uncomfortable is that the will of God. Like, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy life. Come on. He wants you to have it to the abundance. He wants you to have friends that you'll go on vacation with and travel with and do life. Like, those are all great things that God has for you. But there's risk in all of that. And if you live your life with closed doors, you might not get as hurt, but you won't be as fulfilled. Friends are too much drama. Or this. The thing is that's not what God is calling us to do. That's all I really have tonight. But I think the idea that the burden that I know that God is putting on my heart is the challenge. How can I share this, guys? Because it can be very delicate. I understand, right? Where it's especially out of high school, you don't. It's different when you're in high school because you're seeing the same group of people every day. If you went to school, I don't know. You're seeing the same group of people every day. They're in your classes. You're constantly surrounded by them. But now, as an adult, you have a few more choices. You're a little bit more independent. You can pick and choose who you want to call back. There's none of that awkward drama pressure. But where this social experience meets the idea of who we are supposed to be as Christians, I believe the Word of God is very clear. And that if we can surround ourselves, not with just people that are going to strengthen us and make us better people, do that. Please do that. But if we can approach our relationships with the thought, how can I serve them? And instead of abandoning those friendships or relationships the moment that it gets hard, then I think that God will be able to use us. Or how about the idea that God might not have put them in your life to make your life better, but so that you can make their life better? Oh my gosh, thank you, God, for putting them in my life. Ever since I met them, I've just been so blessed. They're so great to me. They're so generous to me. They help me with my bills. They give me rides. That's cool. Awesome. Pray for people like that in your life. But what if you are that person? I don't like hanging out with them. They don't have a job, so every time we go out, I have to pay. Or they don't have a car, so I have to go pick them up. Man, no one's on the list to be that guy's friend. I mean, there's not a long waiting list, most likely. I'm sorry. Oh, that's kind of rude. Sorry. But what if you're the one called to be that person's friend? And what if you help change their life? What if your love is the difference? What if your patience with them is the difference? What if the reason why they're a punk to you is because everyone in their life has betrayed them? They don't know how to be loyal. I have great, my dad is an awesome friend to people. I grew up seeing, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot of family around here. My parents' families are some are from Texas, some are from Washington. So I had my dad as this awesome example. Man, he would get up and we came from a small church, so like everyone was always moving and we were always the first people helping those people move, or we'd go over there and help them install their sprinklers. Or I remember growing up watching my dad be that person. The first person taking the phone call, oh, I'll drop everything, I'll be right there. I had a great example of a friend. And I see my dad a little bit older, and he has, you know, he still has these same friends. Like, he's in his 60s, but he poured into those relationships. How many of you would love to be around people that's like, oh my gosh, this is for life? And then like two months later, I got BFF, like, wait, that's a different BFF. Scroll a couple pictures up. Oh my gosh, that's a different BFF. How many BFFs do you have? New year, new you, like what? Come on, changing BFFs more than your socks. Like that's not, something is like, hey, let's give a little bit more into it. Come on, let's not give up so easily. Jesus doesn't give up on us. Come on, can we give God a praise tonight? I hope it didn't come off too loud.